Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
A week and a half ago, downstairs at the ABC in Sydney, a group of young opera singers gathered to compete for a couple of prestigious awards. One of them was Zoe Drummond, a 25-year-old soprano from Victoria. Here's a little bit of her performance, and listen carefully to the style of her singing because we're going to talk about that in a moment. Another singer was Hanna Kaiser Nyrönen, who hails from Finland. Here's a bit of Hanna Kaiser. In between the first final and the second final, they came up to the Nightlife studio to talk to me about what it's like to be a young opera singer today. I started by asking Zoe to tell me the story of how she became interested in opera.
Well, both my parents really love music and they listen to a lot and appreciate it, but they're definitely not musicians themselves. So I guess I sort of found it on my own a little bit after having a very musical childhood. I just fell in love with actually classical music theatre and Julie Andrews and, you know, all of those amazing old school Disney films and things. So from that, then I went more and more classical into opera.
Was there a particular moment where you heard a particular singer or something happen that you just went, this is it, this is what I'm going to do?
Not that I remember, but Mum tells this story about me as a toddler watching TV and the three Chinese tenors came on, the ad for them, because I grew up in Echuca. There wasn't that much opera there. So they were touring around regional Victoria and apparently I was standing there in the living room and like my eyes were glued to the TV and I was so enraptured by their voices and so excited by that. Mum was like, this is quite an unusual thing for like a toddler to be excited by. So yeah, she took me along to see the three Chinese tenors in Echuca. And yeah, I think it just all started from that.
That's where it began. Now, Hanna Kaiser, what about you? What was your introduction to opera?
Well, I come from a very tiny town from middle Finland. And my family is not at all cultural orientated. So, and I was in Germany, and at the age of 15, I saw my first opera. It was Die Entführung aus dem Serail by Mozart. It was in Hanover, and before that, I sang some jazz music, Finnish tango, and other things, and had some singing lessons before that. But then it was the turning point, the opera in Hanover, when I saw the ballet dancers and the costumes, the set, orchestra lights, choreography, and then I realized, oh, what an art is this.
So you are competing for the Bel Canto Award. It's something that Dame Joan Sutherland was renowned for, this particular style of singing. I understand explaining Bel Canto is a little bit challenging in some ways because some people think it's a style of singing and some people think it's, as it think it says in Italian, just beautiful singing. Can you explain it to us? How is it different from other opera singing?
Well, yes, I guess it has two meanings. Like the words Bel Canto just means beautiful singing. So that can be a way of describing a style of singing. Mm. But also it's more specifically in reference to a particular style of music in a particular era. and a handful of composers that came within that era. So composers like Rossini, Donizetti, and then the later like Verdi. It's all of those composers and the way that they wrote. So and it also it calls for a certain style of grace and technique as well, I guess. All opera should be graceful and have technique. But yes, it's what Joan Sutherland was so famous for.
Mm. So I read that it involves a bit of trilling and turning sometimes. So what does that mean on stage?
I guess it is also known for its vocal acrobatics sometimes and it allows for a lot of opportunities for cadenzas, which is like where you add in heaps of notes to sort of show off at the end of a piece.
Right.
And it's that style of singing. There's a lot of freedom for the singer to embellish parts. But then also the composers wrote in a lot of notes. Often there's a lot of runs and a lot of trills, as you say. And
so, but are you allowed to do that on stage? Just add in a bit as you're going, are you? It's a bit like freestyling with your guitar solo.
I mean, I personally wouldn't, but that was traditional. They could add in things, but I'm a bit too much of a control freak to rely on my my embellishments. Yeah, so I think I would definitely practice it beforehand.
Right, and isn't something that, do you decide I'm a bel canto singer or I do a different style of opera? I mean, can you slip in and out of it, do bel canto one day and something different the next, or is that your style?
You can get known for a particular style or like era of composition, but I think in this day and age it's better to be flexible and to be able to produce like a wider range of styles and things. Yeah.
Makes you more employable, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah. Also, bel canto is very similar. It's the same sort of basic technique to how you would sing many other composers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hannah Kaiser, do you sing bel canto?
Yes, of course. I have to know the style. Right. And for example, a messa di voce. It's a bel canto thing, and of course I use it also when I sing Wagner.
But you're going in the bel canto competition. Sorry, whereas you're not Hannah Kaiser. Why aren't you going in bel canto?
Because there is also a second competition, Elizabeth Connell Prize, and that competition is about dramatic soprano voices. It's a special voice type because opera repertoire is based on voice types, the Fach, as the German says. And this competition, this Elizabeth Connell Prize, is about to help young aspiring dramatic sopranos of the world to assist there to launch the international career.
So where have you performed so far? I mean, are you at the point of having your international career, or are you sort of hoping to step into it through this?
Oh, now I'm having an agent and manager in Germany, and I'm doing auditions there, and I'm singing in productions in Finland and little by little taking the steps.
And so how would this prize help you?
Of course, for a young singer, the most important thing in this point of the career is to be heard. Mm. And I think that's the main thing now.
Right. So the people that you audition for, that you perform for in competitions like this, if you're heard by them, that helps.
Yes. And of course, this is a great thing to have in your CV because this year it was a record amount of the applicants in the Elizabeth Connell Prize. It was 80 singers who sent the video recording, and then 32 were invited to sing in the semifinals and 5 then here in Sydney in the finals.
And who is Elizabeth Connell?
Elizabeth Connell was a South African dramatic soprano, and she had a lovely career here in Australia.
So Zoe, what's a typical pathway for a young Australian opera singer wanting to make a career? How many years do you need to spend training and preparing before you're ready to launch a professional career?
I guess most Australian singers do their undergraduate in music, something maybe a bit more general, and that's 4 years, and then do their master's and maybe an opera school afterwards. So that's, but of course, to get into an undergraduate, you would have had to have some sort of steady training before that as well. So many, many years, really.
And then where do you need to be able to get that first professional role? How long has that taken for you, for example?
My first proper professional role was quite early on in my study because of chance and luck. I think that's a combination of things in this career. Like you obviously have to be good and work well and be a good colleague, but also you have to be in the right place at the right time. Right. Yeah, so I was really lucky. I performed on the steps of the Opera House in The Eighth Wonder. That was a few years ago now. And that role was just because I was in the right place at the right time. And then from that, I was given other roles here with Opera Australia. So it was really, I'm so thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Hannah Kaiser, how's that? Have you had to study for many, many years? How hard is it for you to step into the professional world?
So Finland is a tiny country. We are only 5 million people. We have only one music university. It's in Helsinki, Sibelius Academy, and I'm a graduate of that school from the opera program. And we have only one opera house, the National Opera in Helsinki. So the job opportunities are abroad, outside of Finland. So in Germany, there are 90 houses.
90? Yes. The Germans love their opera, hey?
Yeah. And in Switzerland, a tiny country, there are 10 houses. So that's where the jobs are.
Does that sadden you that you have to leave Finland in order to work in your profession?
No, because also we have a young culture in Finland. Mm. So the middle Europe is where the opera comes from and the composers. So that is where the business is happening, and that's the place where they have the tradition, and that's the place where they have the audience. So I'm not worried about that.
How competitive is it then? How many young aspiring opera singers are there? I mean, is it a bit cutthroat?
There are so many, especially sopranos. Yeah, or females in general, I guess. Yeah, but there are lots of jobs available, and because the contracts are always quite short, so there's always a strong turnover of people all the time. So it's not impossible. But yes, it is quite competitive.
Are there lots of people who go through the training and never really make it?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, lots. Because also I think as well as being a good singer and a good musician and all of that, you also have to have the right mentality and the right mental strength to be able to keep on pushing through all of the no's and all of the rejected applications. And, a lot of time is spent on admin and promoting yourself and all of that sort of icky business. So you have to be really strong to get through all of that in order to get work.
Because it's you're basically freelancing, aren't you?
Yeah,
and it's not only about the voice.
No,
it's so much more things related to this profession, and it's to be a singer. It's more a lifestyle.
Definitely.
Only a profession.
Now, so you were just telling me that your partner is also a singer, and I mean, with all the travel that you're doing, you're moving in and out together, and where are you going to store all the books? It's challenging, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is. But it is exciting. I mean, we've had so many incredible life experiences, and we have both travelled the world for singing, and I guess you've got to take the good with the bad, and we're really thankful for all the opportunities we've had so far.
And even if the countries are changing and the circumstances are changing, but what is always with you is your body and your breath. And that's what you are always having with you.
On Nightlife on ABC Radio, you're with Suzanne Hill. I'm talking to young opera singer Zoe Drummond from Victoria and Hanna Kaiser Nuronen from Finland.
And Zoe, you were just telling me, which I had never thought about, is that if you're an opera singer, you actually have all of that music at home, don't you? How many operas have you got at home?
Oh, I've got a whole book, like a bookshelf full of operas, but I'm a bit old school. I love learning music from paper.
Right.
My partner, as I mentioned, he has got everything on his iPad. So that is much more economical. And really, I should get on board with that. But I love highlighting and writing in translations and all of that.
So how many operas do you have?
Like, do I own?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess upwards of 50, 60.
Right. Yeah. Have you performed all of them?
No, I've performed a few of them, but there are also some study materials and just in case scores, and I'll be ready if I get a call score and all that.
And Hannah Kaiser, do you keep yours in books, or have you embraced the new technology?
Yes, I also like the concrete touch. I can really turn the page.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's better for memorization too. Yes. For me at least.
Yeah.
So you said that you might learn one just in case. Do you have a dream? Like what would be the opera house? What would be the role, even the costume of, you know, your dream moment in opera?
Oh gosh. I mean, I would love to do Violetta in Traviata. I think that would be incredible. That'd be such an epic role with such an amazing journey and stunning music and usually incredibly extravagant costumes and all of that. So that would be really wonderful to do that role.
And what would be the opera house you'd like to do it in?
Oh, I mean, I live in London at the moment, so Covent Garden wouldn't be bad. Dream big.
I mean, is that the ultimate, to perform at Covent Garden if you're in London? Is that
That's the biggest house there. Yeah.
So that's the dream. And Hannah Kaiser, what about you? What would your ideal opera moment be?
Well, I have a Wagnerian voice, and for me, just to create the stamina and knowing the style and everything to be fest in a ring production.
Right.
Yeah. Because
now, how long are they? Ring? They are hours and hours and hours long.
Oh, it's 15 hours total.
But it's performed over a few days, isn't it?
Yes, it depends. It depends how the production is divided. But anyway, there are big parts and then small parts and very good singing. So that would be very, very suitable for me at the moment.
Yeah. And what's the opera house that you would most like to perform that in?
In German-speaking countries, Switzerland or Austria, Germany.
Yeah, but is there a particular opera house that is beautiful, that, you know, it's the stage you long to stand on?
Of course, if we are talking about Wagner, Richard Wagner's music, then it's, of course, the Bayreuth, because there is a special Festspielhaus for Wagner's music.
Which countries then have the best opportunities? Is it Germany? You've been to New York, Zoe. Is it, you know, where do you go to really make it?
I guess it depends. It's quite an individual choice, because it's not only where your particular voice suits, like how your voice carries in a certain house, or the style of your voice matches to whatever the flavor of whatever the country. But also it's to do with your temperament and where you want to be, all of that sort of stuff. But I think, as you were saying before, I think Germany just has so many houses. So Germany's, it's pretty incredible to have so many opportunities there and for so many people.
Hannah Kaiser, I'm betting there aren't too many operas written in Finnish, or am I wrong there?
Yes, there are.
There are?
Yes, yes, of course.
All right, but Zoe was telling me earlier that you need to, you're singing in different languages all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So how often do you get to sing a Finnish opera in your own language?
Actually, about the singing in different language, I would like to tell that I just sang an opera in Hungarian language.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the premiere was now in the beginning of August. And when I started to look the score in January, first 4 weeks, I thought that this is not possible. I can never learn this and sing this by heart. But then it's only repeat. And then I work with two Hungarian coaches, and that you learn the rhythm of the language and the temperament and everything. And, well, I sang it.
You did it?
Yes.
What's the hardest language to sing an opera in, do you think? I mean, have you guys tried Chinese? Or?
No.
For me, Russian language, it's quite demanding.
I've not yet sung in Russian. I guess, well, Czech, quite similar, and Polish.
And how do you go about making sure do you need the accents right? Or does that kind of disappear in the music? Because I know when you listen to singers, you can never quite tell where they come from when they sing in English. But when you listen to them talk, you're like, oh, there's a very strong Scottish accent, for example. Mm. Do your accents disappear in the opera?
Ideally.
Yeah.
I think, yes, well, we have a lot of diction coachings and classes to round out any accents and to make it as accurate as possible to whatever language you're speaking.
All right, so tell me about the competitions. How do they work? Because you have to sing a number of times, do you, in front of the judges, Hannah Kaiser?
Yes, so in Elizabeth Connell, and I also think in your Bel Canto competition, we sing two arias on each round. So four arias we brought with us to Sydney.
All right, and Zoe, you said a lot of people have chosen the same aria. Mm-hmm. Is that good or bad?
Oh, it's fine. I think it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But I guess there's...
Which is the popular one?
And it's Eccomi in lieta vesta from I Capoletti e I Montecchi, a Bellini. I mean, it's a great aria, so
no wonder everyone's
I don't blame it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I'm the only one who is singing Mozart in the Elizabeth Connell Prize. Yeah.
And so, what's coming up for you after this, Hanukkah? So you've visited Australia on a whirlwind tour of 10 days. What are you doing for the rest of the year?
Actually, next week when I'm back in Finland, I go stage rehearsals of an operetta, Gräfin Maritza by Franz Lehár. So back to work.
All right, that's for the rest of the year.
Yes, the premiere is beginning of November.
Right, and in Finland.
In Finland. Right.
And are the Finnish audiences very appreciative of their opera?
Yes, they are. And now, for example, they just had a premiere for Wagner's Rheingold in Helsinki, and it was sold out in 15 minutes, all the performances.
All right. So
and also the city orchestras in Helsinki and Tampere, they are having a very good audience, and the most part of the concerts are sold out, though there is some kind of boost now in classical field in Finland.
So you need a new opera, another opera house in Helsinki.
Let's see. We need audience too. If it would be 80 million people in Finland, it would be different.
And so you're off to Scotland, or first back to Melbourne and then Scotland?
Yes, yeah. Scotland eventually and London in between.
What are you performing?
Well, in Melbourne, I'll be doing The Enchanted Pig, actually. It's a British opera by Jonathan Dove. It was written quite recently.
Tell us the story of The Enchanted Pig.
It's based on a crazy fairy tale. Basically, well, from my perspective, I'm a bridezilla and I'm in love with this pig who's been drugged up, and it's pretty wild. But and I'm preparing for my wedding day with this pig.
You're in love with a drugged up pig that you're going to marry.
Yes, have to come along to see more details.
This is the thing I find interesting about opera, because the singing is seen as such high art, and yet some of the storylines, and when you listen to the actual words, they're just repeating themselves over and over again
sometimes,
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Do you ever hey, here I am singing about being in love with a pig.
Yes, I know. It's pretty absurd. Yeah, yeah.
And then what are you doing in Scotland?
Oh, well, then after in Melbourne, I'm doing Two Weddings, One Bride with Opera Australia. And so that will be at the Art Centre. And it's a revival of one that we did here in Sydney at the Sydney Opera House. So I'm super excited for that. I've actually got a dress fitting this afternoon to see if that wedding dress still fits me, which is super exciting. And then, in Scotland, I've got a 6-month contract there up with Scottish Opera, and it involves a few tours and a few different productions, but the majority of it will be The Gondoliers and Utopia Limited, two Gilbert and Sullivan operas. So, that'll be a really fun way to bounce my way through a new country.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Ladies, good luck in the competition. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little bit of an idea of what it's like to be a young opera singer.
Thank you so much.
That was Zoe Drummond, who was a finalist in the Bel Canto Singing Awards, and Hanna-Kaisa Nyrönen, who was a finalist for the Elizabeth Connell Singing Prize. I was speaking to them when they were in Sydney recently, as part of those competitions was held downstairs here at the ABC. I'm pleased to report that Hanna-Kaisa won the Elizabeth Connell Singing Prize. It's Australia's only international singing competition, and she's been awarded $25,000 to help further her career. Here she is, recorded at the competition, singing De si piace mio voi from Mozart's La Clemenza di tutto.
Spirit,
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.